If you have your Bibles this morning, if you'll turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 10. Begin reading in verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to come into this sanctuary. Lord, we stand in awe at the wonderful presence of God. Lord, we ask you that you'd speak to us this morning through your written, infallible, inerrant, eternal word of God. I ask you, Lord, to speak to our hearts and change our lives. Lord, I'm asking you that you would strengthen, that you would give us victory in areas where we're weak. And Lord, that you would save any lost soul that's in this house today. And Lord, we're going to love you for it, giving you all the praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said, amen. Taking my text from that fourth verse of Scripture, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I'm going to extract that statement, those words, out of verse 4, and I'm going to preach to you this morning on this thought, pulling down strongholds. What is a stronghold? Well, the word of the Lord is very clear that it is a word that depicts a spiritual battle. As you look at the definition of stronghold, the word stronghold is actually a military term. What does that mean? That means whenever an enemy invades a foreign country, their first line of operation is to set up a stronghold. That stronghold is simply a place where they can operate from. It's a place where they can strategize. It's a place where they can plan. And ultimately, that planning and that strategy is to defeat that entire country and to bring it down. I'm talking to you this morning about strongholds. A stronghold is a fortified place, and it's oftentimes a secret place. That enemy, the devil, Satan himself, his desire is to set up a stronghold in the people of God, in our mind, a place where he can operate from. He wants to work on you. He wants a place, a haven of safety, a fortified place where he can attack you, where he can tempt you, where he can torment your mind. I want to make this very clear this morning. This stronghold and the attack of a stronghold does not mean demon possession. I've seen so much foolishness in Pentecostal churches where it bothers me, church. Listen, we've got to stay with the Word of God. A Christian cannot be demon-possessed. What about a backslider? If someone gets away from Christ and moves beyond the blood covering, yes, Satan can enter into them. Look at Judas Iscariot. I believe that Judas walked with Christ. I believe he had an experience with God. But I believe that there were some unconscious conquered territory in his life. He had a spirit of covetousness and he did not get victory over there, and Satan used it as a stronghold to operate from. As you begin to read, the Bible says that there came a time that he had made a decision to go ahead and move away from God and betray the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture teaches when he dipped the sop, it was then that Satan possessed him and entered into him. Listen, if you stay under the blood, if you walk with Jesus, talk with Jesus, stay in Christ, there is no weapon formed against you that can or ever will prosper. I'm a blood-bought child of the Most High King. I'm under the blood. And there is no devil in hell that can pluck me from the hand of Almighty God. I am safe. I am secure as long as I stay in the love of God. He wants to attack that mine. He wants to set up a citadel. He wants to set up a stronghold in that mind. Hear me this morning. We know as Christians, if you've been saved for any length of time, you understand the mind is the battleground. If you don't know and learn how to win the victory in that mind, you will be constant prey for the devil. He comes against that mind in so many different ways. He longs to get on the inside and set up a stronghold, a place where he can move from, torment you from, oppress you from, a stronghold. A stronghold, obviously, is an attack on the mind where the enemy continuously attacks you, and he can attack others that are associated with you through that stronghold. This example is given in Genesis chapter 3. The Bible said that Adam and Eve were in the garden. They walked with God, and Adam had a relationship with God. God said everything in that garden was for them, but there was one command that they were not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, Satan came in the form of a serpent. He's still a serpent today. He is a devil. He's a liar. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Here he comes to Eve. And he asked the question. Did God say that you're not to eat of all the trees of the garden? You see, Satan always operates in question marks. The Lord always operates in exclamation marks and periods. It's always a question in your mind. Did God really tell you that? Is that really a sin? Did God really convict your heart in prayer? Oh, that's foolishness. God didn't really do that. Let me tell you something. He always operates that way. When I walk with Christ, talk with Him, and I have a relationship, listen, I have convictions this morning that we're not born because of a preacher or a denomination, but I have convictions that were birthed at an old-fashioned altar. I want to be different. I want to walk with Him. I want to be sanctified, set apart, and me for the Master's use. My Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6 and 17, wherefore, come out from among them, saith the Lord, be separate and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Amen. I've got convictions. Has the Lord really said that? Eve responded, we can eat of every tree, but not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or we will die. Satan preaches the first message of unconditional eternal security. Here it is. You won't really die. You won't surely die. Listen, that is that message of once saved, always saved. Go ahead. Satan says, God won't send you to hell. There's mercy. Yes, there is mercy through repentance. There is mercy when I repent. What does repentance mean? It not only means to ask for forgiveness, but to turn around, walk a different direction, not to do it again. Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You won't really die. That's the first message of once saved, always saved. You won't really die. Go ahead and eat. Well, the moment that she succumbed to that temptation, she bit, and sin entered into humanity. The Bible's very clear that the serpent beguiled Eve. She was deceived. She was tricked. But because he had entered in through that sin, and he has now gotten into the human race, into the human heart, he now has a stronghold. He has a fortified place where he can operate from. And from that fortified place, he begins to attack Adam. Listen, not only does the enemy want to destroy you, but he wants to destroy your spouse. He wants to destroy your children. He just wants to set up a stronghold for your demise. Make no mistake about it. My life, everything that I do is going to affect somebody around me. You say, well, Brother Matt, I just do my own thing. It ain't hurting anybody else. You better make sure it is going to hurt somebody else. It is going to affect others around around you. The Bible said that Eve convinced her husband and he partook. We know that Eve was deceived. That sin was great. But Adam's sin was greater because with his eyes wide open, he willfully stepped down from that place with God. He transgressed the law of God willfully. It was a willful sin. It was a knowing sin. And he stepped down. Church, let me tell you, Hebrews 10:26, for if we sin willfully, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful look for a fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. Brother Matt, are you saying every time we sin, we're out? Absolutely not. There's power in the cross, the blood to keep me, church. I'm talking about that willful sin. Whenever I'm constantly going in that direction, listen, you cannot go in the wrong way and expect to end up right. Amen. To the seven churches of Minor Asia, at the benediction of each church, it was to him that overcomes will have eternal life. Oh, listen, a stronghold is nothing but a lie that Satan whispers in our mind. It starts off as a simple thought. Then that little thought grows up as a giant that controls us. Strongholds can manifest in several different ways. And I'm going to name a few ways, and I want you to think about these words. Strongholds can manifest in the form of sinful acts, worry, unnatural thoughts, persistent evil desires, paranoia, obsessions, oppressions. I'm talking to you about strongholds. But before I go any further, let me tell you that every stronghold that is set up in that mind, you may be under the enemy's influence and attack this morning. There is not one stronghold that cannot be pulled down this morning. There is no form that the enemy has set up in your mind this morning that cannot be pulled down. How do I know that? Because greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. Listen, I got more power than the devil because Christ lives and operates inside of me. Listen, we don't have to run from the devil and we don't have to be afraid. Our elder brother Jesus made a show of Satan openly triumphing over him through the cross. We ought to lift our hands right now and give praise to the Lamb of God who's already defeated all the works of the enemy. I'm going to name these things again. Worry, unnatural thoughts, persistent evil desires, paranoia, obsessions, oppressions. All of these things, through these things, Satan can get in that mind and set up a stronghold. Now remember, every stronghold is, its very basis and foundation is built upon a lie. Amen. You must know that. Amen. Everything the enemy does and all of his kingdom is built on a lie. The Bible says that he is the father of all lies. One thing that our God cannot do. Our God can do anything, but one thing, and that is lie. God cannot lie, but Satan on the opposite end of the spectrum, he is the father of lies. So whenever he sets up a stronghold, it's through deception and through a lie. Strongholds are built upon deceit. But strongholds, just like in the natural, buildings were not built in one day. And strongholds in the mind oftentimes are built over time. How the enemy will place a thought here and a little thought there. And maybe it was something that you never got victory over. And that small thought became that giant. It grows. It becomes more and more and more. But here's the problem. Oftentimes with strongholds, we treat the symptoms of the strongholds instead of the cause. Listen, people are not our problem. Humans are not our problem. Ephesians 6 says this. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this world. You may think it's that boss that's meaner than a striped spider, but let me tell you something. Ultimately, that's just a symptom of a greater cause. That enemy, the devil, he uses and operates through people and circumstances. We oftentimes treat the symptoms instead of the cause. Think about it. A decongestant will oftentimes help a stuffy nose, but it will not cure the common cold. We focus on the symptoms too much, and we blame, and we look, and we put the direction where it doesn't need to be placed. Listen, if we'll get down to find out what the root cause of our problem is, I believe somebody in this house is going to get victory today. I'm going to give you some examples of a few types of strongholds and how to pull them down. The first stronghold is a besetting sin. Sin, willful sin, can be a stronghold in that life. Satan can get in and begin to operate through that mind. You might have prayed over it over and over again. You asked the Lord to forgive you, but then it rears its ugly head again. It's just almost as if it's a seesaw, a roller coaster of up and down, victory and defeat. I can tell you what's going on. The enemy has a stronghold placed in your mind. Yes, the blood has cleansed you, and yes, God has forgiven you, but the enemy gets you again. Let me tell you something. There's victory for that this morning. Oftentimes the reason why we never get the victory is because we keep it to ourselves and we do not expose that sin. Do I believe that every sin needs to be confessed and talked about? I didn't say that. But I will say this. Whenever you're married and you have an issue with any kind of problem, you need to be accountable to your spouse. Sin loves secrecy. It metastasizes like cancer. In secrecy, whenever you are all by yourself and no one knows about it, and you may have repented over it, and listen, you fill in the blank. Let's don't categorize this just in one area. You fill in the blank in any area, it'll metastasize. Oh Lord, forgive me for doing this again. No, what we need to do is we need to open up and confess it. And I can tell you this, you'll become more accountable. You need to let the light of God's word be exposed on it. Well, no one knows about it, but me and God. Let me tell you something. You had better make sure you get it under the blood and repent. Because Numbers chapter 32 says, be sure your sins will find you out. Amen. You better embarrass sin before sin embarrasses you. Sin always will manifest. You may get along, you may get by with it for a decade. You may get by with it for a year, two, five. But I can tell you, God loves humanity so much that He will expose that sin. Why? Because only through exposure oftentimes is there true repentance. When it comes out in the wash, whenever it's exposed, when a humiliation has to take place. If God loved me so much, why do I have to be humiliated? Why did it all have to come out? I'll tell you why. Because He looks more at eternity than He does the temporal. You better get it under the blood. You better pull down that stronghold, or it will end up destroying your life. There can be no secret places in the lives of believers. I say it all the time. Ladies, if you get mad when your husband goes through your purse, why? Men, it is your business, your wife's business, to go through your wallet and your phone and your iPad and your computer. There can be no secret place when it comes to the child of God. Our lives must be an open book. Church, listen to me. I said sin. It breeds. It metastasizes. It grows. It gains momentum. That little bitty sin turns into a giant that wants to destroy you. Let the light of God's word expose that sin. Listen to me. Brother Clendenin used to say it like this. I've got to wound them before I can help them. What do you mean by that? Until people find out where they are, not in their own eyes or the eyes of the preacher or the church members around them, But when they find out who they are in the eyes of Almighty God, it's only whenever I compare myself to Him, not to you. You may be a good man, Brother Brian, but I must compare myself to Him. It's only whenever I compare my righteousness to the righteousness of Jesus. It's then and only then am I ashamed of my iniquities. It's then and only then does conviction take place in my heart. You remember Isaiah? It was the year King Uzziah died, and the Bible said, and he saw the Lord. Isaiah had a vision of God in his holiness. The Word says, and he was high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Isaiah was awestruck at the holiness of God. And the Word of God says, when he saw God, he said, woe, woe is me. For I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. This man had a heart's change, and a repentance took place in his life. Church, I want to look at Jesus. I want the light of God's Word to go through me. I want the Holy Ghost to convict me. Conviction is not your enemy. Conviction is your best friend. I wouldn't go to a church where a preacher never preached on anything. Let the Word of God penetrate me. It's where I am changed and delivered and transformed by the Word of God. Church, we must allow the light to shine in our lives. When Satan has a stronghold in your life, he will destroy you and others, whatever it is. If it's an internet addiction, confess it. Let me just say this. That sin is so prevalent today, it's not talked about very much. But it will destroy you, not only in the spiritual and the life which is to come, but it will destroy your mind. You do a study on the things that that wicked sin does to the human brain. It destroys the brain. It ruins marital relationships in so many different ways. You do a study on it, you'll find out. Do you know that they did a study on serial killers. Every serial killer from a certain time frame, when they begin to look in and dig into his house after they found out who it was, every one of them were addicted to pornography. Let me tell you something. It's not an innocent sin. It's not your private sin. No, it will destroy. It's a way like a cancer. It will kill a marriage. It will destroy your life. It'll make you suicidal. Church, let me tell you something. The blood of Jesus can cleanse, wash, and make you brand new. Pull down every stronghold in that mind. I'm going to tell you about another type of sin. Now, there's many, many sins that can be in that secret place that lay dormant. I mean, you can name any sin, put it in that blank. But there is a conference called the Acts 6-4 Conference. It's an Assembly of God conference, and it's a very conservative movement in the Pentecostal movement today. But there, a man that spearheaded that movement, good brother. I mean, this man is, I won't even tell you what city he lives in. Some of you might have heard what happened to him, but he pastors a great church, 500 people in the assemblies, very conservative church. In the Assemblies of God right now, there is a movement out of that movement that's trying to, that they want to start something different in time because of all of the different directions the assemblies have gone in a negative way. Now, there's some good Assembly of God churches out there. There's still some good Church of God churches out there. But there's some that I can tell you, when you go into those churches, you'll think they have lost their ever-loving mind. And you wonder why we've lost so many people to the Baptist and the Methodist Church. I can tell you something. You'll think they're crazy when you go in there. They've got so far away from the Word of God. But this preacher, this conservative preacher, this man, he's a good brother. He just got busted for meth in the Assemblies of God. His name is a great name. He has a great reputation. Do you know what took place in his life? They say that his beautiful daughter got married to a young man, and they found out later he was a homosexual. He began to have a struggle going into that direction. And this man, the enemy, through that depression and through how could this happen? I've given God a whole life. I've done everything. Through that depression, through that anxiety, the enemy set up a stronghold in his mind. He said, I just couldn't deal with it. My baby being married to a man that struggles with that. What did I do wrong? I've done everything I can. Listen to me. You've got to deal with it when it starts in that mind. If you allow the enemy to get in there, he will destroy you. This man had to leave his church. As far as I know, he's repented and he's being restored right now. But listen, it'd have been a whole lot better if he'd have got help before it all came out. Be sure your sins will find you out. You might be able to hide it for a while, but God will cause it to be made manifest because he loves you. Amen. Number two, the stronghold of insecurity in relationships. Listen, remember, strongholds are built on lies. There are people who cannot share their friends. And I'm not going to say if it's more prevalent in women or men. I'm not going to even say that. It's not important. They can only have one friend at a time. They get jealous and they get angry whenever their friend is with someone else or not completely including them. Listen to me. The enemy can set up a stronghold in that mind through an insecurity in a relationship. You can feel as if everybody's against you and everybody's talking about you. I've talked about those cockatrice eggs, how it's just the thought that enters into that mind. It's not even true. It has no truth to it whatsoever. But the more we think on it, the more true it becomes. We start looking real carefully and closely, and it is true. You can start to see the signs in other areas. Listen, I have missed it so many times, I can't even describe to you your mind. I tell you, it is an enemy of God. Romans chapter 8 says the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to God, neither indeed can be. Your carnal mind has got to be put under subjection. It must be, you must have the mind of Christ. Jealousy can be a stronghold where the enemy manipulates and works from. Through that jealousy, you get angry and you don't want to talk to them anymore. You start accusing them falsely, and they're like, what have I done wrong here? What have I done? I've told all my friends, my kids' friends in this church and in the fellowship of our other churches. My kids don't have just one friend. I tell them to reach out to everybody. We're in the ministry. We're in the ministry to love people, to make people feel loved, and to reach out with a helping hand. Listen, we owe it to the Greek and the barbarian to love them. And I'm not talking about your friends. But jealousy can be a stronghold in husband and wife relationships. Now, I'm talking to you about the stronghold of insecurity in relationships. Husbands and wives can have such a trust problem. I know, because I deal with a lot of couples inside and outside of this church. And I've had women come to me in the presence of my wife and say, I am not doing anything wrong, and he thinks that I'm cheating. I said, well, what's the proof? He has no proof. He just thinks it in his mind. And listen, it becomes a stronghold. He starts seeing it everywhere. Or he starts seeing her as someone that is cheating. Now listen, at times, it could take place. I know that, and I understand that if he or she has a flirtatious spirit, to pray for your spouse. I want to tell you, anytime there's a flirtatious spirit, that's sin in itself, but that always leads to something else. I can promise you this, when you love your spouse, you love God, you won't be flirting with anybody in no way, shape, form, or fashion. Amen. But there are times when there's nothing going on, and because that stronghold is in that mind, everything that they see, they don't want them talking to church people. I've had people leave this church because they say, the one or the other, I won't say if it was a husband or wife, they say, my spouse is jealous when this person comes and talks to me. Are you serious? Yes, I'm telling you, I can't even go out and check the mail and wave at the neighbor because I'm telling you, they got a gun on me when I come back inside. Listen to me. That is a stronghold in that mind. You need to get the victory. You need to pray through. That will destroy you. You'll end up in a divorce court for no reason. Amen. And you'll drive your spouse and your children crazy. You're always looking. Surely they're going to do it again. Or if they've never done anything, that can be an issue. But what if they have fallen before? Well, listen, if you've taken them back, then you just need to trust and you need to pray because you can't change their heart anyway. Yeah, you can gripe and you can fuss, but you've got to pray and trust the Lord. Just listen, Brother Taylor used to say, if my wife left me, I'd kill her and tell God she died. I am not suggesting that. The stronghold, it comes into that mind. And then from that insecurity, from that manipulation and that lie, he works on you in so many areas. He can make your life miserable. He can cause you to lay out of church, not come to the house of God, not pick up your Bible. Listen, it's a domino effect from that stronghold of that insecurity. You can stop reading the Word of God and you can start going a different direction. It's a place where the enemy can operate. Church, we got to pull it down. Number three, the stronghold of unnatural thoughts. The stronghold of unnatural thoughts. A crazy or ungodly thought that just pops into your mind can become a stronghold if you allow it. Thoughts are not sin. I don't care if it's the most wicked, perverse thought that comes into your mind, it's not a sin until you choose to meditate on that thought. Amen. Listen to what James says. James chapter 1 and 14, he says this, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. That word, when it says, when lust hath conceived, what he's saying is it goes from the mind to the heart. That word conceived is a word we use when a woman is with child. Whenever that thought gets put on the incubator of that mind and you start thinking about it, you think on it long enough, it'll go from that mind and it'll get that heart impregnated with that sin. Listen, it's a pregnancy word, conception. Whenever that mind thinks on it enough, that heart becomes impregnated with that sin. And listen to me, that heart will end up giving birth to sin. Your baby will cry one day. That baby will cry. That sinful thing will cry and you'll wish you never thought about it. Cast down every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You better deal with it when it's seed form. You better deal with it whenever it becomes a thought. If you pass a situation, well, once again, you fill in the blank. Anything that's sin, cast it down. You think on it for a few seconds, you'll think on it a little bit longer, and then it'll get from that mind to that heart. Nobody ever committed adultery overnight. It was slowly meditating, wondering what it would be like. No one ever left God. No one ever went back to alcohol that was delivered from alcohol overnight. It was the thought of, what would that be like? I remember when I got saved in 1996, I was an alcoholic before I got saved. And my mom didn't condone that, but I did it behind her back, my mom and dad here. She looked at me, we were at Western Sizzling. Remember when Western Sizzling was open in Tyler? She said, Matt, you got to tell me you'd never do that again. You'd never go back. And I looked at my mom and I said, Mama, all I can say is with God's help. She said, how can you say that? Now that was a mom that's concerned for a son that wanted me to stand up and say, never. But I said, Mom, I am so dependent on Him. I got to keep my thinking right. I've got to keep my mind right. Wherever that mind goes, that whole body goes. Proverbs 23:7, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You go ahead and think on it long enough. You go ahead and meditate on it long enough, and you'll end up doing it. Nobody ever killed somebody just at the spur of the moment unless they were trying to rob them. It all started with a thought that was not cast down. Amen. pull down that stronghold. You know, the stronghold of paranoia. Now, I can go a lot of different directions with this. I asked my wife permission to use this. So I want you to know I have permission from my wife to give this example. When she was a little girl, I mean, she was one of those little girls that every time she saw a flag, she had to salute herself or she thought she was going to die. You ever heard the terminology, step on a crack and you break your mama's back? I mean to tell you, she is paranoid. And she struggled with a lot of those little things. Now, she's got victory today over that. That was when she was a little girl. But those type of things, when we're worked up about all these little things and we're so concerned and we don't want to cross the road when the black cat crosses the road, listen to me, there ain't no devil in hell that can destroy me. I'm a child of God. There ain't no weapon formed against me that can or ever will prosper. Why? Because I am under the blood covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he has me under his protection. We need to stop worrying and be concerned about all of these little things. Listen, a stronghold can be set up in that mind through paranoia. I remember when I was a boy, I used to have deja vu. Is that how you say it? Deja vu? I'm a bad speller. I tried to spell it out and I just did little dashes there. And I'm telling you, I tore it up spelling it. Deja vu. But I remember whenever I'd struggle with that as a kid, you remember. I mean, I thought I was fixing to die. I said, well, I feel like I've been here before. Oh, and I mean, I would panic. Thought I was losing my mind. The enemy had set up a stronghold in my mind through that. And every time it started to come on me, I'd start to panic. Here it comes again. Deja vu. I'm losing my mind. I'm losing my mind. I'm going crazy. Listen, I've learned that all of these attacks on the mind, whenever I start to struggle in any area and I start to get paranoid, what's going to happen? You know what I do? I just look up and say, I just remind myself that everything is Father filtered. The devil can't do anything to me unless God allows it. I am safe under the protective hand of Almighty God. And every once in a while, I have deja vu. You know what I say now? This is pretty cool. I feel like I've been here before. Praise God, I'm not dead. And if I die, God wanted me in heaven anyway. What about anxiety attacks, Brother Matt? Listen, anxiety attacks, because I'm going to be real careful. I'm going to be sensitive to some of the struggles people go through. But when you start to feel like you're having an anxiety attack, your head starts to feel like it's about to blow up. Your heart starts beating out of your chest. And because you start getting nervous over that, it amplifies it times 10, which brings on major anxiety attacks. Here's what my counsel has been. And several have taken this counsel whenever those anxiety attacks come on them. I say, listen, when you start feeling that and you start worrying about it, it amplifies it. You're going to be okay. It's just the stress or the things that are coming against your mind. And listen, once again, when you understand how much God loves us and how protected we are, a lot of these fears will go out the window. We are protected under the mighty hand of God. We need to stand on His Word this morning. Number five, I'm about to close. The stronghold of the love of money. Money and the love thereof gives the enemy an opportunity to set up a place in that mind where he can strategize from. We're so afraid that we're not going to make it through life with what we're making. We're so afraid that somehow the stock market's going to crash and we're going to lose everything we got. Well, listen, if you lose it all, God's going to help you. He's going to provide for you. But if you allow the enemy to sit on the throne of your mind and every decision you make is based on money, he will end up destroying you. The money's not a sin. It's not a sin to be rich and it's not a sin to be poor. But the love of money is the root of all evil. It'll cause you to make decisions that you would have never made before. Amen. It'll cause you to get a second job to keep up with the Joneses. We don't need to keep up with the Joneses. What we need to do is love God, love our families, be content with our wages. God, He is the only one that can satisfy. Most rich people are miserable anyway. I don't think there's any rich people in this church, but most people that are rich are miserable because money can't satisfy. Now, if they have Jesus and they use that money for the glory of God, it's a different thing. Amen. But the love of money is the root of all evil. Preachers, the enemy can set up a stronghold in that mind because they're afraid if they preach too hard, then the money's going to go out the door. Well, listen to me. I'd rather preach the gospel and preach to 10 people, 5 people, than I would preach a soft gospel and I stand before Almighty God. And instead of saying, well done, He looks at me and says, preacher, why? Oh, church, I want to love Him, walk in Him. I want to do God's business. Oh, whatever our hand finds to do, do it with all of our might. Amen. The stronghold of the love of money. I'll start tithing when I start making more money. God knows my situation. No, I'll tell you what the situation is. The command of the Lord in the book of Malachi is to bring all the tithe, which is tithe means tenth, into the storehouse. There are people who take their tithe and they send it to ministries, not in this church, but they send it to ministries all over the country. Listen, you want to send an offering there? Praise God if it's a good, solid ministry. But the word of the Lord, in the book of Leviticus, God is jealous over the tithe. It belongs into the storehouse. And Malachi says, why does it? Because He wants meat in His house. Oh, praise God. Whenever we tithe, when we do what we're supposed to do, we will be blessed coming in and blessed going out. Well, I'll start doing it when I start making more money. You won't be making more money. You'll be cursed with a curse. The word of the Lord says you'll be cursed with a curse. We must fortify our mind. I'm going to give you a few points on how to pull down the strongholds of the mind. Number one, we must realize our God-given authority. We have more authority than the devil. Someone come to the piano this morning. We must realize our God-given authority. James 4:7 says this. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Boy, I have taken that to heart so many times. When I first got saved, I'm going to tell you, I thought the devil was really after me. He was. But I read the book of James and it says, resist, draw nigh to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And I just believed it. And I said, you've been tormenting me all this time. And if I resist you in the name of Jesus, you got to take off running. Amen. Praise God. I realized my God-given authority. Some of us, we sing that song, I'm taking back what the devil stole from me. No, listen, he ain't stole a lot of stuff from us. We give him almost everything he's got. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So what did I start doing? Knowing that the devil cannot read my mind. He can place thoughts in my mind, but he is not omniscient. He's not all-knowing. So what do? Out loud, I say, devil, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, flee, leave. And he has to leave. Oh, church, let me tell you, we can pull down those strongholds by knowing our God-given authority. Number two, casting down imaginations. How do you cast down imaginations? When it starts in that thought process, you immediately cast it down. Well, what if it comes back? Well, I can tell you the secret to being successful in spiritual warfare. When you cast it down, immediately turn that face and begin to meditate on good thoughts. This is what Paul talked about in Philippians 4:8 when he says, think on these things. And he names all the things that you think on. When you cast down that imagination, if you don't fill your mind with something immediately, that thought will keep coming back. And you'll be tormented. Here it comes again. I don't know how to overdo it. I don't know how I'm going to get victory over this. I'm tormented with dying, having a heart attack. I'm tormented with my spouse leaving me. I'm tormented with being broke. I'm tormented with all that. Maybe it's a sinful temptation. Take that thought, cast it down, and fill your mind with the thoughts of God. Redirect your thinking. Casting down imaginations, he said, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. This is the key to spiritual warfare. This is the key to no longer being tormented in your mind, is what you think on. Some people want to wallow in self-pity and pain, and they want to wallow in bitterness and unforgiveness. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, the enemy has a stronghold in your life. That unforgiveness will turn into bitterness, which will turn into a decrepit, mean, angry life. Cast down every imagination. Replace one thought with another. Number three, how do you pull down and keep them down? Fortify your mind with the helmet of salvation. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the armor. Then he says, but put on the helmet of salvation. That is that piece of equipment that protects that mind. Be careful. Be careful what you watch, what you feed upon. Listen, I'm not going to set any evil thing before my eyes. I'm not going to set any evil thing before my eyes. You see, through the eye gate and the ear gate, which are windows to the soul, whatever you allow to come in here is going to get in here. It goes in the eye, the ear, goes from the mind to the heart. You are what you eat. When I was a kid, I used to watch this, I used to watch all kind of cartoons, Sesame Street. Come on, you know you watch Sesame Street too. Maybe you do with your grandkids. But he gave commercials about he showed vegetables and said, don't drown your food. I don't know if you remember those commercials, and it had dressing, and it was a big push in the early 80s. Don't drown your food. And it was talking about you are what you eat. Well, that is true in the physical, but it's multiplied times 10 in the spiritual. Whatever you feed upon, whoever you're around, whatever you listen to, whoever you watch, you become. You wonder why you struggle. You wonder why that those sexual thoughts are still there, those thoughts of unforgiveness, those worldly thoughts, you're being pulled into the world. I'll tell you why. You're feeding on things you shouldn't be feeding on, and the enemy has set up a stronghold in that mind, and he's manipulating every move of your life. He's controlling you. Number four, we must pray. We do less praying in the house of God than we do anything else. He said this house would be called a house of prayer. Most people that are struggling with depression, I didn't say everybody, but most that are struggling and that the enemy has set up a stronghold in their mind, they don't have a prayer life. If I investigate, how often do you pray? Do you even talk to the Lord? You'll find out they're not praying, because whenever you pray, you release those burdens and give them to Him. There's power in prayer. There's power in prayer, pulling down strongholds. There's many that I have not named as a stronghold that could be a stronghold in your mind. But whatever it is, it's got to be pulled down. Can we stand all over this house? I want you to get a picture with me just for a moment in closing. Before we come to these altars, I want you to get a picture of a man in a control booth. Even more so than a sound room. You know that soundboard up there controls the sound, the music, the volume, everything. I want you to picture the enemy of our soul in a room with all the control in front of him, a board. And he's in that room and he's just pushing this button. And he's watching you, he's pushing that button. And everything that he does, it makes you move, because he has set up a stronghold in that life. You say, Brother Matt, that's kind of intense there. Well, I'm going to say this, that everything comes out as a domino effect from what he can control in our life. Is there a stronghold? Are you struggling with unforgiveness? Are you struggling with something? Does the enemy manipulate and move you with one statement that is made? One person you see at Walmart, do you turn around and walk the other direction because you're that bothered? If so, the enemy very possibly has a stronghold set up in that mind. We must pull it down. If we're going to see the miracles of God, if we're going to see full and total victory, we've got to pull down every stronghold. This morning, I'm going to ask everyone who's physically able to come and find a place to pray around these altars. If the enemy has not set up a stronghold in your mind, praise God. Come pray for somebody else. But he's going to set you up as a target. If he has it, he's going to come against you. If he has a stronghold in your life, ask the Lord to help you to pull it down this morning. Isn't God good? He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ever ask or think according to his riches.
Even though my spirit is low and it seems I can hardly go, but still I see victory. And at times I'm walking by faith, I can't see what lies before me, but still I see victory. I've just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by his blood. You may say, you may fight, that you're gonna lose this battle tonight. I'm reminding you, you can't cross the bloodline. Bloodline. Even though my spirit's low and it seems I can hardly go, but still I see victory. And at times I'm walking by faith and I can't see what lies before me, but still I see victory. I've just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline. Seems that we're fighting a lot, but I remember I'm standing on the rock. So Satan, if I were you, I'd turn around and give up too. Oh, 'cause I believe you are bound to lose. it seems that we're fighting a lot, but I remember I'm standing on the rock. So Satan, if I were you, I think I'd turn around and give up too. Oh, 'cause I believe you are bound to lose. You can't cross the bloodline because I'm covered by His blood. You may stare, you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight. I'm reminding you, you can cross the bloodline. Tonight I'm reminding you.